Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. And happy Devil Radio Day, 927, September 27, 92.7, Devil Radio Day. Once again, I encourage everyone to visit our website, Devil Radio website. Download the app. Download the app. Download it. Also, from the Apple and Google stores, listen to Devil Radio. Carry it with you 24/7. Listen to your favorite shows. And there's a link. Many of you have asked for the link. We put it on. We're the only station standing up to something like 80 right-wing stations around the state that tell it like it is. We really tell it like it is. No pussyfooting around. And you want to help this station? You want asked how you can do it? Click on the link. There's a something that Biden can do, and I think that the Senate can go along with it. And even if he doesn't, it doesn't go along with it. If the Republicans filibuster it and somehow it can't get raised, he should do it by executive order. We should rejoin the Trans-Pacific Pact. Now, what does that mean? Barack Obama and Joe Biden as vice president spent a lot of effort creating a Trans-Pacific Pact that would have involved most of the Pacific nations, Asian nations, Oceania type, the Philippines and the rest of them, and excluded China in a trade zone. And the United States was a major part of it. And the idea would be that there would be relief on tariffs, that kind of thing, free trade, and extend U.S. influence throughout Asia and throughout the Pacific. Trump took us out of it. The minute he got in, remember, he took us out of the Paris Climate Accords. Right away, he just said, we're out of it. He said, we're out of this, the TPP. And he claimed because it would benefit China, and he implied that China was part of it. The whole idea is it was created to exclude China because everybody's afraid of China over there. And that was just false. But it really hurt us. Everybody thinks, well, Trump hurt us in Europe, but not the Pacific, not Asia. In other words, he's servile to Putin because Putin has the goods on him. Putin and the oligarchs over there have financed him for more than a decade. And he couldn't get financing without Russian financing. His own son, Eric, said that. And also, I personally believe that the Steele video exists, the pervert video from the Moscow hotel room. Trump says it doesn't exist. There is no pervert video, he says, from the Moscow hotel room. But he's silent about money from Putin, and his son confirmed that it did get money from oligarchs in Russia. So we think, oh, well, and that's when Trump said he doesn't trust the CIA and the FBI, and Ron Johnson, our senator, went along with him. Ron Johnson said he doesn't trust the CIA and the FBI. Say they trust Putin. Putin's a liar and a thief, communist. Then he stopped being a communist, and now he's just the head of organized crime over in Russia. But that's what's going on over there. And you think, oh, but maybe Trump was good in Pacific. Well, no, Trump was not good in the Pacific. He took us out of the Trans-Pacific Pact. That would have benefited us trade-wise. It would have benefited a lot of those nations. More to the point, it would have excluded China. China would have been the odd man out. Musical chairs, the music stopped, no chair for China. Obama and Biden were the ones that helped orchestrate this. Now it's time for Biden to say, and yeah, I know he has a lot on his plate, get us back into the TPP. And they changed the name of it slightly, and they changed some of it slightly. But China looks like it may try to get in. And the irony is that China may go, well, all right, you originally formed to exclude me, but I'm not so bad, and let me in. And they could take over what we set up to exclude them. To exclude them. Why is all this happening? This is happening because the minute Trump got in, those nations were starting to stand up to China. The Philippines went to The Hague, to the World Court, to drive the Chinese boats out of their territory because they were trying to shut down their fishing area. Trump would not support them. Then Philippines got scared. They're a lot closer to China than they are to us physically. And they started to try to make nice with China. Trump did everything he could, whether on purpose or through sheer incompetence, to destroy our power in the Pacific. This would go a long way to bringing it back. Going to the lines, Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Good morning, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. Welcome back. Great win last time by the Packers.
Yep.
Yeah, Trump was a disaster in all aspects of his presidency. I think he's been on as the worst president ever. This all being said, and I know you covered a little bit, but what is the percentage? I think we're going to get the infrastructure bill. They just have to pass that. But the bills that go with it, reconciliation, I'm thinking it's 70%. I think they're going to go along with it. When you have time, would you address that for me, please? And there's so many things going on right now, Matt. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like this in my lifetime. Thanks for taking my call.
Right. Thanks, Paul. Yeah. Yeah. And we did hit that. Let me just hit it again briefly. The hard infrastructure, the $1 trillion, is a no-brainer. That passed the House, that passed the Senate with 69 votes, including Moscow Mitch. 19 Republicans voted for it. All the House has to do is pass it, and everybody in the House is for it. On the Democratic side, Kevin McCarthy is trying to be obstructive and oppose it, but that doesn't matter. We have a majority. That's got to pass. The soft infrastructure, the $3.5 trillion, the problem is that Kyrsten Sinema said she won't vote for it. And Manchin is getting weaselly on it. And Manchin's saying we got to reduce the amount. Well, depending on how much, okay. But Sinema is not even given any wiggle room. And the progressives are saying we won't vote in the House to approve the hard infrastructure, which the Senate has already approved, unless the soft infrastructure passes first. And in the House, I think Nancy Pelosi, she's postponed the vote on the hard infrastructure till Thursday. Hopefully they'll be able to come up with a soft infrastructure bill that will pass, and then they'll pass them both in the House. The problem is in the Senate, the hard infrastructure bill's already passed the Senate. It would go into law. Biden would sign it. Soft infrastructure, who knows? 70%, I hope you're right. With Sinema, is she willing to take a haircut on the $3.5 trillion that doesn't really kill it? Who knows? But thanks for calling in, Paul. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate it. There's another issue, and I want to raise this. Over the weekend, there was a visit to Fort McCoy to the Afghan refugees by Congresswoman Gwen Moore of Milwaukee and Congresswoman Ilhan Omar of Minnesota. I object to Ilhan Omar's going there. Ilhan Omar publicly said that she thought that the American soldiers in Afghanistan were the same as the Taliban and had committed war crimes. She flat out said that. She is also, she should not be on the Foreign Affairs Committee, but she's been made the chair, sub-chair for Africa. We have special forces operating in Africa against Islamic terrorists. And she said that what we've done in Afghanistan is a war crime. A war crime is prosecutable and the people involved can go to jail. You can't have a congresswoman saying that. Shouldn't be in the Congress, but she certainly should not be at Fort McCoy. The idea was to go and see if the Afghan refugees are being mistreated. They're not being mistreated. There's obviously security because we have not vetted them all. In New Mexico over the weekend, some Afghan refugees in a similar facility raped an American officer, an army member, a woman. And in Fort McCoy, there are two of the Afghan refugees who are in the Dane County Jail, one of them for sexual assault of a minor, the other one for beating his wife. So the point of the matter is you need security. And I don't want Ilhan Omar coming into the state at all, saying that somehow the United States committed war crimes in Afghanistan. Remember, we evacuated people. It was the Taliban who let through a member of Pakistan ISIS with a suicide bomb to kill 13 of our people. The Taliban knew what was going on. They did that on purpose. And to equate us with them is wrong. It's false. It's disgusting. But coming from a member of Congress is equally disgusting. And coming from somebody who's in Wisconsin, supposedly looking over Fort McCoy, is even worse, in my judgment. Delta Airlines had a very good idea, and I want to tout that right now. Delta Airlines has urged a broader no-fly list for unruly passengers. Now, what does that mean? We have seen some assaults on flight attendants. There's one guy, there's a flight to Puerto Rico, and suddenly he jumps up shouting in Spanish and Arabic, charges the cockpit in JetBlue. The pilot opened the cockpit because he threatened the stewardess. That's got to be looked at. If you let these people in the cockpit, you get 9/11. Anyway, they finally subdued him. He fought like an animal, and they required belt extenders and everybody on him. And why should he not be on a no-fly list? You know, there was a woman who punched a stewardess in the face and knocked out her teeth. Why shouldn't she be on a no-fly list? That's very simple. In addition to prosecuting them, right now they just get fines, a grand or two, and they let them fly again. I would say put them on a no-fly list, depending on the severity, either permanently or for a year or two. You can't have these people in the air. I think that Delta Airlines is leading the charge on that one. I'm very, very glad they're doing it. Also, some of them have to be prosecuted. I suspect the guy in going to Puerto Rico will be, but the woman that punched the stewardess in the face and knocked out some of her teeth, I don't know that she's being prosecuted. Maybe she is, but I haven't heard it. You haven't heard it either. And you cannot look on that as just some simple barroom assault. First of all, it's to an innocent employee of an airline. It's a federal crime to do that, by the way, federal felony. And secondly, airplanes are precarious. And if you interfere with public trust in airlines, you've really, really diminished our transportation network and our economy. So here's to Delta Airlines for doing that. I support 100%, a much more stringent no-fly imposition on all of them. And the lines are alive. We're going to a break. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. Lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.